when we arrived last night, I tried to meditate the Word of God. And I tried to imagine Oklahoma City was devastated by turbulence. When I arrived here, I saw many people like you. In spite of your sickness, you come here for the Word of God. And a lot of folks, I saw them. Then I said in my heart, it is the grace of God. I saw the grace of God in you. So, Lord willing, want to give a short discourse about how did the grace of God became visible to His church. In Acts chapter 11, verse 23, it said, who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. So in the book of Acts, in the New Testament, tells this story about how the primitive Baptist church spread like a wildfire from Jerusalem, where Jesus died and rose from the dead, to Samaria, to Syria, to Greece, to Rome, and beyond. So tonight, we read a part of the story that describes another decisive step in the spread of the Lord's church. It's found in Acts chapter 11, verses 19 up to 24. In Acts chapter 8, we saw how the primitive Baptists spread to Samaria and built a bridge over the chasm of hatred between Jews and Samaritans. In chapter 10, we saw how the movement spread to the totally non-Jewish Gentiles like Cornelius, people of Caesarea, and built a bridge over the alienation between Christian Jews and non-Christian Gentiles. Now in chapter 11, verses 19 following, we track the Lord's church, how all the way north along the coast of Mediterranean, see to the chief city of Syrian, Antioch. Now, those who scattered abroad because of persecution that arose over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, speaking the word to none except the Jews. But there were some of them, men of Cyprus and Cyrene, who on coming to Antioch spoke to the Greek also, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number that believed turned to the Lord. Tidings of these things came into the ears of the church, which was in Jerusalem. That is primitive Baptist. I believe that. And they sent Barnabas to Antioch, who, when he came and saw the grace of God, he was glad and exhorted them all to remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast purpose, for he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. So the sentence I want to focus tonight is from verse 23. When Barnabas came from Jerusalem, he saw the grace of God and was glad. He saw the grace of God and was glad. The question is, how did God's grace become visible in His church, which is the church of Antioch? What I would like to see happen because of this service tonight is everybody's here to be able, I saw the grace of God, and I'm glad. So my question for this passage of Scripture is, how did the grace of God become visible in Antioch? Barnabas saw the grace of God and was glad. it was visible in the eyes of Barnabas.
And I think
the grace of God become visible today in our lives the same way it did then in Antioch. So I want to ask this text, how did the grace of God become visible in his church? The first thing is, the grace of God become visible when it turns persecution into preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. There are at least three answers in this question, probably more, but I'm only going to talk about one of them. Namely, the grace of God become visible when it turned in persecution into the preachings of Jesus Christ. When Barnabas saw the persecution in Jerusalem had produced preaching in Antioch, and that many people had turned to the Lord Jesus, what he saw was the grace of God. God's grace become visible when he turns persecution into the preachings of Christ. In verse 19, now those who were scattered abroad because of persecution that arose over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch. In verse 20, there were some men of Cyprus and Cyrene, who on coming to Antioch spoke to Greek also, preaching or telling the good news about Jesus Christ. In spite of persecution, in spite of obstacle, in spite of difficulties, the Lord turned it to the preaching of his gospel. Now, listen, folks. One thing I've learned is that the grace of God uses suffering. In other words, the good news about Jesus came to Antioch because of persecution. Barnabas saw this and called it the grace of God and made him glad. God's grace becomes visible when it makes the anguish of persecution a means of spreading the gospel of the grace of God. If anything is clear from the Bible, it is this. The grace of God does not spare his people in suffering this age, but rather uses suffering to bring his people to himself. Like the prodigal son. He came to himself when he suffered. Like David. In Psalms chapter 119. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. To King David, it is good. Affliction is good. Because it turns the suffering to preaching the gospel. The Son of God himself suffered to save his people from condemnation. And now he turns suffering again and again for our good in this age and in the age to come. Now, when Brother Allen Daniel came to our church, we have problems. There's a lot of ministers there in the Philippines have a problem with each other. And I don't want to fellowship with them. Brother Daniel, Brother Conrado, please come to the fellowship. No, I don't want. I don't want to fellowship to other Filipino brethren. Brother Quinto, please come. Do you remember that, Brother Allen? Yes. I told him, no, I will not come. I will go home. I would rather to stay in my house than to have fellowship with these Filipino brethren. While we are driving to go back home, the word of Brother Allen is ringing in my ear. Please come, Brother Quinto. They are your brother or brethren. I said to my driver, turn it. We will go to the fellowship. Turn it. Amen. When Brother Daniel saw me in the fellowship, oh, Brother Quinto, he hugged me and he kissed me. He cried. I saw the grace of God among our American brethren. I saw in his eyes, I saw him, the grace of God. There's a lot of Filipino. There's a lot of American who traveled 1,000 miles to bring the good tidings in the Philippines. Many times I announce it to my congregation, the American preacher, they will come here. They travel 1,000 miles in order to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. All of these students, you need to ask your teachers. Please, here is a letter. Give it to your teacher and ask permission. You need to ask a permission to attend to our conference. All of us here and all the brethren there, they write a note for their employee and also to their teachers. They want to attend in our meetings. And what, you know what? One of my members, he asked the permission of her employer. She said, I want to go to conference. We have a visitor, American preacher. He traveled 1,000 miles in order to preach in our church. Please allow me to attend to that conference. Her employee said, no. If you will not permit me to attend in our conference, I would rather resign into your company. Okay, you can resign. Okay, thank you, boss. I will resign. I need to go to the conference. I love to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Imagine the American brother. They traveled 1,000 miles. So I asked her, "What? How is your job?" "Well, I'm resigned." "Do you have a job?" "No." But now, she has a good job.
Amen.
Yeah. Yeah, but now they meet. She and her husband is now ministering in Saudi Arabia.
Amen. Wow.
They have a good congregation there, but under persecution.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, God's grace among the American brethren. I saw the grace of God to these brethren. And I thank God. In other words, the grace of God was at work in all this. God hasn't changed. This is the grace of God that used persecution to get good news from Jerusalem, Jews to Antioch Gentiles. Not only to the American brethren, but God's
Amen,
grace among the Filipino brethren.
Amen.
When I traveled into the provinces, I saw the pastor there, the Primitive Baptist. Oh, they suffered a lot. Before they joined to the Primitive Baptist, they had a big support from some American missionary. But when they joined to the Primitive Baptist, oh, they suffered a lot. One time, I talked to Brother Gus. Brother Gus, I want to join in the Primitive Baptist. I love the doctrine of grace. You know, brother, he said, you know, Brother Conrado, I have no promise. You have no financial support. You have no car. Everything. No, no, no. I said, what? My support in Landmark Missionary was stable. If I join in your group, sir, we will experience a lot of trouble. No. Okay. Go ahead. One time, and Brother Don Parrish and Brother Harvey Fulmer visited in the Philippines. They preached, and I'll be there. And one of the Primitive Baptists there in Manila, he said, Brother Conrado, you can go with Brother Fulmer and Brother Don Parrish in their hotel. You can assist them. Okay, I will do my best. So Brother Fulmer and Brother Don, they put away their clothes and then they change it. Then they lie down. They said, Brother Quinto, tell me about yourself. How will you become Primitive Baptist? And I told them, sir, I'm sorry to tell you this. I'm not a Primitive Baptist. What? They arose. Come again, Brother Quinto. You are not a Primitive Baptist. Yes, I am a Landmark Baptist. What? Oh. So we had a great time to share. Then they loaded me a book. Loaded me books. Oh, you read this, you read this. While they're crying. Oh, my brother. Because I shared my experience in Landmark. They cried. And they loaded me books. And I started digging, studying the Primitive Baptist. Lord, this is right doctrine. I love this doctrine. Then, Brother Gus is in America during that time. I gave him a call. Brother Gus, do you want to come in the Philippines? Why? I said to him, we want to be baptized. He said, I'm coming. I'm coming. Then that time, he baptized 70 people. 70. We're crying. Even my wife is crying that time. And Elder Gus also. Well, he baptized. He cried. He saw the grace of God among the Filipino brethren. He cried. And I feel the grace of God also. The time it started persecution from missionary. The American missionary visited me open times. He listened to me while I'm preaching about the grace of God. He said, Brother Conrado, your preaching is very clear about the grace of God. One thing I would like to know. Do you believe the gospel? God used the gospel to regenerate a person? No, sir. It's only by His power.
Yes, sir.
Immediate regeneration of the Holy Spirit. Oh, you're a primitive. No, I'm not a primitive. I have a Landmark. No, you're a primitive. No, sir. You know, Conrado, the Primitive Baptists there in America, oh, they had a service once a month. They didn't evangelize. I don't know, sir. I've been there in America. But the Primitive Baptists here in the Philippines, oh, there's a lot of folks. There's a lot of primitive Baptists here. If they didn't evangelize, oh, they are multiplying. Ah, you're a primitive. No, I'm not a primitive. I'm a landmark. Okay. Last question. Read Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Okay, sir. I'm not ashamed to preach the gospel according to Apostle Paul. For it's the power of God unto salvation. You say, Brother Quinto? It is the power of God. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Do you see that? Do you hear that? Yeah, sir, I hear that. And I see that. I read that. But continue, sir. Please continue. To them that believe it. They are already believers. So that's the reason why the gospel have power to them. They are believer already. Ah, you're a primitive Baptist. I will cut your support from now on. We will disfellowship you. And then our church, you know, it broke our heart that time. They cut my support. Our offering that time, during that time that the problem was there. It's around, I think, $3 every Sunday. My family and I, you know, the noodles, it's good for my family for one day. I saw my wife, I saw my kids, they are crying. I heard they're praying, Lord, mercy, mercy. Daddy, is this the price of your service? Is this the price of the doctrine that you learn? Is this the price? I kept silent. I told them, let's continue seeking the right doctrine. Don't stop. I saw the grace of God among the Filipino brethren, not only in my life, but among many Filipinos there in the Philippines. In spite of many suffering, they continue as a primitive Baptist. You know, when the American preacher visited us, oh, it's a great comfort. It's a great encouragement. When you visit Brother Randy, it's a great encouragement in the Philippines. I tell you, Brother Randy, every time, if you will visit us, I will announce immediately. Please, do come in the Philippines. So the grace of God works the same way in the lives of individuals as well. Suffering becomes the stepping stone to God. 13 years ago, I told to Brother Daniel, it's about forgiveness and hope and love. It's about knowing that God is for you and not against you, even in suffering. That's how the grace of God becomes visible. Not only to the American brethren, to the Filipino brethren, but also God's grace in my own life. I want to bear testimony that it has been true in my own life as well. The grace of God has become visible by turning sorrows into substance. Like what I say a while ago, it was terribly humiliating and keep me from many work in our church. But now I know better. He was answering my prayer. I wouldn't see it clearly for about 15 years. But he was making a preacher. He was doing it the way nobody else would do it. Because his ways are not our ways. I now see all the suffering and all the embarrassment and all the humiliation and all the loneliness and all the crying out to God as I share gift and my standing in this pulpit tonight as the visibility of grace. I've seen the grace of God and I was glad. When I asked Brother Bill, Brother Randy told me about the sickness of his dad. He was sick. As I would serve him, Brother Bill, he's still, at his age, still continuing to attend, ministering to the Lord. I saw the grace of God to that brother. I think the grace of God took every day's pain. I think the grace of God took every great trials. The grace of God took every great perplexities, took every great obstacle in life. I think the grace of God took every great difficulties, took every defeat and used it for my good and yours. We had a lot of problems in the Philippines. What a difference if the God of all grace will not help me in studying the precious doctrine of God's grace and experiencing it internally and motivated by its doctrine. Elder Quinto will not remain in the ministry. What a difference if my brethren did not offer prayer for me, and if Elder Gus Harter is not there in times of many trials and in times of many temptation, Elder Quinto will not remain in the ministry. Brethren, as long as we saw American brethren still continue in the ministry, in spite of many trials, in spite of many temptation, in spite of many difficulties, in spite of many problems, in spite of many sicknesses, we saw the grace of God and we are glad. So I testify to you of you tonight, I've seen the grace of God in my life, and I'm glad. He takes what seems to be the worst of circumstances and turn them into good news. How he did it for the persecuted brethren in Acts, in the book of Acts. He did it for the American brethren. He did it for the Filipino brethren. He did this to other country. He did it for me. And still, he can do it for you, brethren, no matter what you are going through these days. I don't mean that everything will be easy. I mean everything will have meaning. Everything will be bearable. Everything will make you wiser and more loving and more generous. Everything will draw you nearer to God than that and a lot more. That is how the grace of God will become visible in your life. And God will do it by His grace. So tonight, I want to close with the plea that Barnabas gave to the church in Antioch. It says, who, when he came, had seen the grace of God, was glad, and exhorted them all, and that with purpose of heart, that is to remain faithful. They would cleave or stay loyally unto the Lord. That's my plea to you tonight. Trust the grace of God. Don't put your trust in yourselves. Don't put your trust in money. Don't put your trust in the government. Don't put your trust in the church. Don't put your trust in your job. Put your trust in the grace of God. And then hanging there. Don't let anybody trick you out of the greatest gift in the world. Living the joy and the power of the grace of God. Church, I'm glad I saw you. Does this message of the grace of God comes to you with joy? Have you received the grace of God? If so, grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We welcome you. God bless you.